Clipping the Field, the college football podcast about all of college football. I'm your host, Patrick Mayhorn, and I am joined by my co-host, Ryan Donnelly. We're back, baby. Ryan, what's up, man?
Oh, yeah. We are back. I am back from Europe. I am now the fatted calf. I have been fattened up with the lovely Italian people. It was great, man. It was a great trip. I was trying to not do as much college football stuff while I was there, so my girlfriend didn't murder me on our lovely Italian vacation.
Yeah.
But, I'm just a guy. I still have to check in a little bit here and there on the boards. But, I'm excited to be back, all the way back into it.
I have to ask, because we were kind of joking about this last week. Were you tweeting about Auburn's spring game while you were in Europe, or were you home when you were doing that?
Well, yeah, I'm still in Europe.
Oh, man. A little free time to dunk on some guy talking about how Auburn has a freshman receiver who looks pretty good. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, that pissed me off. He's not good, you know? I gotta say my piece, you know?
Yeah. time to slam on this fucking 18-year-old. How could he? How dare he? Could decide to play for Hugh Freeze and in the Mickey Mouse offense? That's what a psycho. Well, that's awesome. We love that. We love not thinking about college football for a month, which is, I think, pretty much what we have both done here. We are hopefully refreshed, rejuvenated, ready to bring a little bit more. I don't even know if excitement would be the right word, but a little bit more fire on college football. Eventually, we are going to have to get ourselves into it with this season. That'll happen at some point. Maybe a little bit of time off will help us, will have helped us get just a little bit more interested in this college football season, because it has been kind of tough going here. I don't think we are alone on that front. I think a lot of people are a little bit sick of the whole thing. And we're going to do an episode this time around. It's kind of not necessarily explaining why people are a little bit sick of the whole thing, but certainly explaining one of the symptoms of all of that. We're going to do kind of an extended reading from a story in The Athletic. But before we do that, we do have a couple things we want to promote here at the top, as we usually do. Ryan, do you want to do the meet at midfield read, or do you want to knock out the home field read here first?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about Meet at Midfield, which is our college football website. So you and I have a website along with our friend Kevin Harris and Taylor Fulton. We write about college football there. You and I cover the national stuff. We cover Ohio State, Michigan, the Big Ten, and all kinds of great stuff in between. We are about to get into the thick of our preview season. As soon as the spring transfer portal window closes, we are going to be starting to pump out our preview content. That's going to include, of course, team and conference previews. It's going to include a lot of like position rankings, things like that. We really get into the thick of it. I mentioned this on our message board, but I have been writing a little bit less lately because I have a ton of prep work done for that stuff. So we can kind of start coming at it hot and heavy, basically. There is Patrick seeing the inside of, there's a few massive spreadsheets I have out there. I have like scholarship charts built out for like 30 teams. I have my quarterback spreadsheet done, my running back spreadsheet's done, receivers and O-lines are coming next. Doing a lot of content there just in terms of ranking some of the top position groups nationally and what to expect from them. So really looking forward to getting into all of that. But you guys should sign up. We have premium episodes of this podcast. Unfortunately, we should acknowledge this, Patrick, before we forget.
Yeah.
We did take a little bit of a break of this podcast. I do want to explain that we had a guest booked, and you may have seen this in the news. We're really excited about this one, but some health complications led to our good friend Orenthal James Simpson being unavailable for our podcast episode.
Yeah. Hand up, that one's our bad. We probably should have got him on the show a little bit earlier. We had been talking about it with him for years. We wanted to do something with him, but I guess we waited a little bit too long. And unfortunately, long time friend of the program. Really, I think honestly, kind of the inspiration for both the show and the site, and just kind of a North Star for you and me personally, especially you, mostly you. We couldn't get it in time, but we're gonna, with heavy hearts, we're gonna win one for the OJ, I guess.
We won for the Jews. Yeah. We'll be, you know, he did give us a lot of great content before he passed. So we're looking forward to explaining his innocence and clearing his name really soon.
At long last, someone brave enough to do that on a college football podcast.
That'll be a big part of our upcoming content. But no, yeah, we have premium episodes of this podcast. We have premium articles. We have, I do think the best message board in college football. I don't want to say who or what it's on because this is going to sound, I don't know if you know this. We are actually the subject of an academic research paper.
What
that is coming
fuck?
Out. I haven't told you about this.
Are you doing a bit or are you being serious?
I'm being 100% serious that one of our subscribers in academia is doing a project on message board discourse. And it centers partially around Meet at Midfield. So if you want to be a lab rat, come along. It's in a positive light, I promise. But
yeah.
So that's us, baby. We're the center of it all. So come subscribe to meetatmidfield.com and get all that stuff.
That's amazing. I did not know that. You're telling me this for the first time. that's awesome. Shout out to that guy. So meetatmidfield.com is the website. Go on over there. You can also go if you want to support the show and the site, I suppose. More the site than the show. The show is money pit, but the site is good. The site makes money. You can go to homefieldapparel.com and you can use the code Meet at Midfield for 15% off of your first purchase. That would be a purchase of any sort of high quality collegiate vintage apparel for pretty much every school that you could, you know, really reasonably ask for. If you're asking for a school that they don't have, that's on you. That's a personal failing. They have t-shirts, sweatshirts, joggers, hats. I mean, they have more things realistically that I could even say on an ad read. They have the sweet basketball shooting shirts now for a bunch of schools. They've got they had some fucking jerseys even. They were doing all sorts of stuff over there during March Madness.
I saw a girl in Salerno, Italy, wearing a Pitt home field shirt.
That's crazy. Did you let her know, you know, about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire and all that stuff? Did you sort of warn her about that?
I said hail to Pitt, and she looked at me like I had three heads. So it's possible she didn't speak English and somehow ended up with that shirt. Who knows how? I really wish I would have had time to like kind of follow up on that and find out how she got that shirt, but I did not.
You can't be saying, I don't think really you should be saying hail to much of anything in Europe. They don't like that over there.
Ooh,
there's kind of a negative connotation with that word, I think. So, you know, it's a tough one, but Pitt.
I was on a tour in Pompeii, and this woman there who was giving the tour mentioned something about like the preservation of Pompeii, and she said, well, our prime minister at the time, and like really quietly she was like Benito Mussolini. And just kind of glossed over it real fast and, just kept it pushing.
It's a tough one. That's a tough one. Yeah, kind of have to overcome your history a little bit, just like Pitt football. So that makes sense a little bit. A lot of evil men in the history of Pitt football. So, Home Field Apparel, they are longtime friends of ours, friends of the site, friend of the show, and you can support them and support us by going over there and using the code Meet at Midfield for 15% off of your first purchase. Ryan, let's jump on into this here. We've got this is from a little bit ago, but obviously we've not been recording for a little bit, so we are going to go back into the archives. We're going to go back and talk about something that everybody has already talked about, but we're going to do it better because we are smart and everybody else is dumb. And that's sort of the pitch of the show. We're going to talk about this story from The Athletic that I think came out in early April from Stu Mandel and Andrew Marchand. I don't have the actual title in front of me. I have a bootleg version of the article that I have cut up for the sake of this reading. But it's basically on a Super League proposal regarding college football, and this group that is attempting to do that, called College Sports Tomorrow, which is, I would love to know how much they paid the consulting firm for that name, because that is really, really good. We're going to read through this. Before we read through this, just generally, I've expressed this sentiment before, but I do kind of want to start here. Do you think that like The Athletic and I guess like Yahoo has done a lot of this. Do you think these guys are ever going to shut the fuck up and just talk about football, or are they just going to keep running basically this story every 3 weeks in perpetuity? Is that are we ever going to get a break from this, or is somebody going to come up with a new one of these every couple weeks just forever?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think unfortunately the Andy Staples economy like would not survive on this kind of story. I know he doesn't work there anymore, but you know, it lives on in his honor. Look, when you hire a bunch of people and like get rid of a lot of people who actually knew football, but hire a bunch of people who don't really watch much football and just kind of talk about it the way like, you know, NBA fan accounts talk about the sport, which is just like, oh, what about this coaching? What about this portal movement? Like, we have a growing epidemic, not of fans, but of writers and media members who only want to talk about the football offseason and not the actual games in the field. Or if they do talk about the games in the field, it's for gambling purposes or like posting about how epic like a Buffalo Hail Mary was in an important conference game, but not for the actual conference title race. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, if you don't like or know the sport, it's your only option.
Yeah, which is really cool, and I bet it's going to create a really, really, really good generation of fans and also, presumably, future media members. Usually when you have a sort of a nationwide decline like this, it only produces good things moving forward. We're going to have a bunch of ice-chewing psycho 23-year-olds who are somehow even worse than the guys who came before them. That is going to be sick. That is going to be really, really cool. We love that. We love the concept of guys who are like just personally, they are sponsored by like FanDuel or something, and this is all that they do. It's good. It's good, and we like it. Let's jump in here with this story. As I said earlier, this is kind of an abridged version of the story. Some of it is not super pertinent, and so I cut some of that stuff out. But a lot of this is. We're gonna read through this. We're just gonna kind of riff on it as we go, as we like to do here on this podcast. We're in the riff zone. Story starts like this. One league overseeing college football's highest level. No more conferences as we've known them. Playoff berths being decided solely on the field. Promotion and relegation for smaller schools. Players being paid directly, NIL and the transfer portal managed. A group of influential leaders wants to make all this happen soon, and they are pitching it as the best way forward for a sport they believe needs saving. First things first here. This sounds bad. This is the lead for the story, and it sounds bad, I think. Is maybe first, like, just punching it up just to start here. This sounds bad. If you're trying to pitch this positively, you might want to describe it as being good instead of like this, where you're talking about what sounds essentially just like the NFL. We want to make the NFL. That is not appealing to me, or I don't think to a lot of people who are fans of college football. Just off the bat here, this sounds bad. I think I'd maybe try to, if you're trying to sell this, you might want to frame it a little bit differently than no more conferences as we've known them, as one of the first things you read in this story. Okay, that sounds bad. I'm out. For that reason, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Well, actually, before we even get into the content of this, I did want to ask you something, which is like, I'm curious to hear... We'll get into the full execution of this idea, but just on the principle of the idea of this Super League, which... obviously sucks in a lot of ways. For you, if this were to actually happen, do you think feel better by just getting rid of the teams at the top and having a separate thing? Like, I know there's still a promotion relegation stuff here.
Yeah.
But mostly just having your own separate thing. Would this actually be relieving for you if this were to happen in some way?
I would like to chop off the top of the sport. I don't know that I would, as we're going to kind of go into here a little bit further, I don't know that I would like to chop it off to this extent where it's like 70 teams basically just being grouped into their own thing. The promotion and relegation thing doesn't apply to them, which is also kind of a non-starter for me, that there's just 70 teams permanently stuck. Like, Vanderbilt gets to be there. Why? They don't need to be there. There's nothing that Vanderbilt has done that makes them deserving of being there. Or like SMU gets to be involved, even though it would have been in that group for exactly like 1 year at this point. I don't love that. it would be nice, like, just personally for my own enjoyment of the sport, and I think honestly for the long-term health of the sport, to just basically get rid of the SEC and the Big Ten, to make them their own thing and not my problem anymore. But this goes further than that, to the point where, like, I do think you kind of lose something critical to the you know, character of the sport when you just take 70 teams and basically make them their own thing. Because, like, the whole appeal, you know, for I think for most people, like, I really like the smaller conferences. Obviously, that's sort of my whole deal. And I would get a lot of enjoyment out of just being able to watch those leagues, basically, and not having to care about the bigger leagues. But a big part of what makes college football and college sports in general so fun is that the big teams still have to play the small teams sometimes, and sometimes they lose. And to lose that, to lop those teams off and not have them around as foils anymore, I think would make it kind of, it would take a pretty critical part of the sport out of the sport for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it would suck. Like, it's just also, like, this idea of... I hate that everyone's... Like, all these idiots in charge of college football, all of their solutions never seem to be around, like, the core of college football and its history, but in introducing things from professional sports in different places.
Yeah.
It's not that, dude. It's a whole separate thing where fandom is entirely separated from, I think,
like, the schools,
you know, from, it's like, it's not related in the way, like, professional fandom's related.
Yeah.
I really don't like it.
Yeah. That is, like, it's a fundamental misunderstanding about why people are fans of college football or college sports, is that it's not like, it's not like the NBA or the NFL, where, yeah, some, you know, a lot of people do have teams that they grew up with, like, kind of local teams. But then there are a lot of people who are from places that don't have teams, and they just kind of pick one based on who they like. You know, it's like, oh, I like these guys. The 49ers were good in the 90s, and so I'm a 49ers fan in Nebraska. Like, okay, there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of I don't know, a lot of the discourse around, like, the NBA or the NFL is people who are generally just sort of fans of players, right? There's a lot of that above all else. Whereas in college sports, you just don't get that because players aren't around for that long. And so the allegiances are largely based on where you grew up or where you went to school or some combination of the two. Which I think is that is the fundamental misunderstanding here, is that trying to make it basically a professional league is you can't sell it the same way because it doesn't have the same appeal at all. It just doesn't. It's not the NBA. It's not the NFL. There won't be people who are just following their favorite players around over their 15-year careers. These guys are, at least by design, 4 or 5 years maximum at these schools, and the really good ones are probably 3 years for football and 1 for basketball, if that. And so you're just kind of like you're just taking away the thing that people like, which is the regional ties, and you get to play the teams that you're familiar with and the fan bases who, you know, maybe your neighbor is a fan of a rival school, and you can, you know, kind of egg his house, or, you know, throw a brick at him when he comes outside, or, yeah, you know, kind of a gas leak situation, things like that. Cut the brake lines, right, on his car.
Have sex with his wife.
Sex with his wife, of course, things like that. And you kind of lose that, I think, if you're doing this, because that is not, there aren't, like, that you could, there are rivalries in theory in professional sports, but it's not like, It's a very different way that those come about, and it's usually because two teams are really good for a long time, and so they play each other. But it's not like I don't know who the fucking, I'm ostensibly a Cavs fan. I don't know who the fucking Cavs rivals are. It was the Warriors there for a minute, but there's, like, it was just because they played each other a bunch. The NFL, at least you have, like, divisions, and so there's history that lends itself to some rivalries, but that's the whole thing about college athletics.
It's not like, It's not like any Michigan fans are going to be like anti-Syracuse now because Kyle McCord went there because they disliked him at Ohio State, yeah. right? Like that doesn't, it doesn't work that way.
You motherfucker. He joined a super team. This bitch. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
He's ring chasing.
Yeah. It's just like, it's also not like, I don't even think it's like, you know, professional soccer in Europe where your fandom is almost entirely based on the neighborhood you grew up in, right? Yeah. Like, it really is like, you know, I don't know, Argentina's pro league probably has like half of the teams are from Buenos Aires. And like, if you grew up in Belgrano versus, you know, Chicarita, you have a different team. And like, that's not the way that it works in college football. There's some of that for sure. Like people who grow up in Ohio are likely to root for Ohio State. People who grow up in Alabama are likely to root for Alabama. But you also have this whole element of like, you know, national and international alumni networks across the country, across the world, who root for these teams because they went there and they have that professional association, all those sorts of things. It's just an entire, I think it's a different kind of fandom from just about anything else in sports. And I think these people trying to change it the way they are fundamentally misunderstand that.
Yeah, you have a larger investment in the program that you support in college athletics than you do in anything else, because you can't go to Pittsburgh, you know, Steelers College. You can't go to the Lakers school. It doesn't exist. You have no actual, beyond like the money that you spend on these franchises, you don't have any actual investment in it. You don't have any connection to it in the way that you would if like you went to fucking Kansas for 4 years. Like that's you were there. You have, that's like a significant part of your life, and your identity was developed there. And you just don't, you're not going to have that in the pro sports, and it's incongruent with college athletics to try and take that model. It's not the same thing. It's a wildly different thing. It's closer to like, you know, it's like a level of passion, significant level of passion beyond like having a high school team, right? Where you went to high school.
Right.
Like it's not, you can't, nobody's talking about, you need a high school super league. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. That's dumb. No, that doesn't make any sense. It's closer to that than it is to like the NFL or the NBA, or even, you know, like I think the closest professional parallel is probably professional soccer, because you do have a lot of those, you know, regional ties and all that. But even then, like you said, I mean, you're not going to school at Manchester City. That's not, you don't do that. You grew up in the area. It's a different level of connection that people have to these teams that these guys, these, as we'll go through this kind of murderer's row of just like dumb guys, that they don't have, they don't understand this in a way that is extremely clear through their ideas and especially through the things that they say.
Yeah. No, 100%. And like, it's also just the last thing I'll say in that connection. Like for me personally, I think maybe not everyone has this experience. I think the majority of college students who care in any way about athletics do, like your identity is kind of indelibly tied to your university and by extension, like the athletics programs, right? Like whenever you go the rest of your life, your degree has that school's name on it. Like embarrassing things that happen to that school because of athletics, like you are tied to that in some ways, right? Like success also, like a lot of people only know these schools because of their football teams. There's a lot of that goes around. And I think, and also like you spend your formative years there, right? Like as you become an adult, you're making lifelong friends at very formative years, where oftentimes you're going to spend every weekend in your first semester and the, you know, the next three fall semesters after that, or, you know, more if you're dumb, going to the football games every single Saturday. And I think that kind of connection is like so imprinted on people, you know, and of course people, there are pro sports freaks, those do exist, but like, it's not, if you stop being a fan of that team tomorrow, no one knows. Like if you're just the guy who lives in Huntington, West Virginia, and you root for the Steelers and you stop liking the team tomorrow, that's it. Your ties are cut, right? You just sell your gear and you're done. Like I always have that degree from Ohio State, right? That's not going anywhere. That it's just like a different kind of, like my relationships that I built in Ohio State aren't going anywhere. Like that's something that I'm just tied to forever, which I do think produces a different kind of fandom.
Yeah, and like those formative memories are shaped you know, oftentimes by like the teams that they're playing, and those teams are always the same, or at least they have been. You know, it's always yeah, it like you know,
yeah,
you know roughly who you're going to be seeing every year. You know,
and they're intergenerational
are,
too.
Yeah, like you have you know kind of a general history of these programs that you're competing against, and you know. You know, just like what they're about, what they're usually good at, what they're usually not good at, what their history looks like, what their history against your team looks like. And it, right. It's a level of consistency where you can develop a, like a, an unhealthy hatred of a school or of a school's fan base through those experiences. And that's important to college football. That's a big part of it, is an unhealthy hatred of somebody who you've met twice.
Right. You very well may, like if you're an Indiana student, a fifth generation Indiana alum, you are rooting in the same trophy game that your great, great grandfather rooted for.
Yeah.
Like those have been around long enough. You don't have that in other sports in the United States. It doesn't exist. So, like this desire to break it up to maximize revenue. I know the horse out of the barn, we're not going to change it, but just the ways in which it's happening, like the further degradation of it is just still so appalling to me. Like all those people just, the people who are in charge of this fundamentally don't get it. It's like when a private equity firm takes over a pro sports team and they don't understand what gives that city or that team juice. They just don't get it fundamentally.
Yeah. Yeah. And they try to like they do all the different marketing things to try and figure out what does, but it's like you're still there. It's not something you can tap into if you don't, if you just don't get it. And in college sports, that's especially true. And like the thing that all of these proposals fall flat on, and we'll go back to reading the story here in a second, but the thing that they all fall flat on is that the only way that I think you could actually maintain what college football and what college sports have that makes them so, you know, so beloved and what makes people care about it, is that it would have to be a group that exists purely for the sake of preservation, basically. It would have to be essentially a group whose approach and whose mentality is archival is not the right word, but is just like, this is like a fucking national park and you can't do anything to it. You can't, like if you leave trash here, you're going to get in trouble. If you try to fuck up the sport in any way, you're going to get in trouble for doing that. It is just, this is what it is and it stays that way. And we're not trying to maximize it or do anything beyond that. It's just, this is the rule of the way that
these
it
are,
is.
These are public fucking institutions. They're universities. Like, we pay for them. Our tax dollars pay for this shit to work. My tuition dollars paid for these schools. Like, it's fucked. They're just allowed to keep doing this. Yeah. I can't stand it.
Yeah, it is. Like, that is really the, I think that's the only solution that that would be satisfying to me and to probably a million some people and more than that, is like, yeah, it just there needs to be like a National Park Service, but for college sports. you get in trouble for trying to fuck it up. You can't do that here. You can't camp here. You don't have a license to do that. You can't. There's no hunting this time of year. You can't be moving Illinois to the Big 12 or anything like that. That's pretty much it. So story continues on here. Several college presidents, Roger Goodell's primary lieutenant at the NFL, who cares, and some of sports' top executives have devised a plan, dubbed by outsiders as a super league. Nice little jab there from Stu. I see you, you little rat man, to completely transform college football. Those involved in the group College Sports Tomorrow told The Athletic. Although the plan has drawn skepticism from within the sport's current institutions, seems like a problem, the people behind the ideas believe they must be implemented. That's an awesome paragraph.
No kidding. Yeah.
That's an awesome paragraph. Although nobody else likes this idea, the people in the group think it's good. That's really good. Thank you. Thank you for the reporting. That's strong. There's a quote here from Gordon Gee, West Virginia president and famous, what is it, anti-papist? Was that his thing? Didn't he get in trouble at Ohio State for calling Notre Dame the Little
Catholic
Sisters
jokes
of the Poor or something?
He said quite a few things over the years, but that's definitely one of them.
That's awesome. That is okay. I shouldn't have picked that out as a thing to highlight as a negative. That is pretty funny that he did that. That's a funny reason to lose your job. I guess there's also a quote here from the Syracuse chancellor, whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce. It's got a Y and a V back to back. I don't even know what that could be. I'm sure that Gordon Gee has issues with him. The Syracuse chancellor says the current model for governing and managing college athletics is dead. Gordon Gee adds, "We are in an existential crisis." again, not really further, just kind of, yeah, it is. I don't know why you guys should be the ones who, you're in college athletics. You're the ones governing and managing it already. It's you guys. You guys know that, right? It's you. You're the president and chancellor of two major universities. It's you. It's you and a bunch of people like you. So those two are part of a CST.
Yeah,
a 20.
It's the Subway brother. You made the sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. You did this, Gordon Gee. You were the president at fucking Ohio State. I don't know what to tell you. You did this. It was you. They're part of CST, a 20-person group, which also includes the NFL. The NFL's number two executive, Brian Rolapp, Philadelphia 76ers owner David Blitzer, and lead organizer Len Perna of Turnkey ZRG, the search firm that places nearly all the top conference commissioners, including recently the Big Ten's Tony Petitti. There's a search firm for conference commissioners. That's awesome. Boy, that's a real fun cast of guys right there. You get the NFL's number two guy, the owner of the 76ers, and Len Perna of Turnkey ZRG. Cool. Can we get fucking Lev Parnas in here? Come on. Throw some names on the board. Who cares? Condoleezza Rice is involved.
Can we get Lev on this? Yeah. Look, I'm not going if Lev's not on it.
Yeah, I go where Lev goes. They're trying to implement a drastically new system that would replace the NCAA and the college football playoff and potentially provide, okay, well, if it could potentially provide, a solution for the hurricane of current and future lawsuits aimed at the business of the sport, plus the NIL and transfer portal issues that they believe have put college athletics as a whole in peril. The current CST outline would create a system that would have the top 70 programs, all members of the five former major conferences, plus Notre Dame and new ACC member SMU, as permanent members and encompass all 130-plus FBS universities. The perpetual members would be in seven 10-team leagues, joined by an eighth or seven 10-team divisions, rather, joined by an eighth division of teams that would be promoted from the second tier. The 50-plus second division teams would have the opportunity to compete their way into the upper division, creating a promotion system similar to the structure in European football leagues. The 70 permanent members would never be in danger of moving down, while the second division would have the incentive of promotion and relegation. That's interesting to say the incentive of promotion and relegation. The incentive of getting to die. So that's the promotion and relegation thing that they have here. I touched on this earlier. If you're just doing this for you know, the everybody else who has to deal with this, while the top 70 don't have to worry about it at all and they're at no risk, you fucked it up. That's not the whole thing. Is like of promotion and relegation in like European football. Is that it doesn't matter who you are. Even if you're fucking Chelsea, you can still go down to the second league or whatever it is if you have a really bad season, if your management is really bad and you fuck it up. That's the whole appeal, is that it applies to everybody, that everybody has the chance to both move, you know, they have the chance to move up, but they are also at constant risk if they aren't good of moving down. You can't just cut that out for the top guys. Then it's like, there's no... Now you're just punishing everybody else, but like Vanderbilt's completely safe. You know, there's nothing to worry about if you're fucking Rutgers. You're fine. You're in there. It doesn't even matter. You can't do anything wrong. If you're Cal, you don't have to spend any money. If you go 2-10, it doesn't matter. You just get to stick around and roll in it and invest that money wherever you want to, which would presumably be into your back pocket and into the back pockets of these guys. That is right there. That's stupid. That doesn't work. You have to have the threat for everybody or else you can't do it. That's the whole appeal.
Yeah, no, of course it's ridiculous in its nature, but, and of course the reason they're doing it that way is because otherwise these teams would never agree. Like,
yeah,
even
and we're going to get to this. They are starting this negotiation from that point, and the teams that they need to agree to this already don't want it. they're already, like, later on in the story, the conference, it's like, oh, all of the conferences that would be involved in this have said, fuck you. They've canceled meetings. They've pushed back meetings. They said, yeah, we'll get to that at some point. Like, they have started this negotiation for the promotion and relegation at the bare minimum, and they still can't get any sort of interest. They can't get any bites from the fish. It's just like, you've already freaked it. You have no leverage, and also still they're not interested.
It's embarrassing. It's completely embarrassing for these guys.
We love it. We love it. We love to go in and cut our own legs off going into a negotiation that we're still not going to go anywhere in. That's awesome.
No, it's pathetic. Yeah.
I personally, this is just me. I mean, maybe I'm wired differently. If that was the case, I don't think, and you know, I'm like spearheading a plan. I don't think I would go to the Athletic quite yet. I think I would maybe wait a little bit longer until I've ironed out some of the details, like getting anyone to think that my idea is good, before I go to the Athletic to have them whine on my behalf.
Right. And well, that's obviously what happened, though, is like they did get rejected for, we're going to read about it in a second. They did get rejected for these meetings and dinners, which led to them obviously leaking this idea to the Athletic and I'm sure some other news outlets, whoever, they shopped it around probably.
Yeah.
But with the attempt to generate like public fan interest and support for this, to put pressure on those commissioners. Like basically what they're doing here, in my opinion, is they recognize the failure they had, and they're looking at it and saying, basically I'm taking the opposite bet of the European Super League, which was trying to fly by night and so the fans couldn't protest it.
Yeah.
And betting that American fans are the exact opposite and they're dumb enough to support this because they're fans of one of the big teams or like think that, you know, it's like the American dream model of the temporarily embarrassed millionaire that every G5 fan thinks that if we just get a shot, we'll be a new power now soon. Like that's the idea here.
Yeah. Which is what's really, that is kind of the saving grace for a lot of this is that every time one of these stories goes out, the resounding response is pretty much unanimously just like, oh, this is stupid. this sucks. I don't want this. Like it's these guys can run as many stories as they want in Yahoo and in the Athletic, and ultimately they can probably just do whatever they want. That has been the case so far in college athletics. But it does, you're not going to like, nobody's going to like you for doing it. Nobody's going to see this and think like, oh, that's a great idea. Like that's not how the rank and file works because they understand the fundamental flaw in this that we were talking about earlier because they are actually fucking fans of these goddamn teams. That's the issue that these guys are never going to get past is that people like college sports and they don't like it when college sports are destroyed. You can't sell that. There's no amount of couching that will make it attractive to anybody other than fucking, you know, Stu Mandel and Josh Pate and the dum-dums of the world who are being paid to do this.
Right.
That's it. That's the only people you're going
to
get.
Why, like, and as much as I find them to be evil and like annoying, is like credit to the conference commissioners and like the TV people. They do inherently understand that, which is why we don't hear about any of their plans until like 1 week away from the finish line, right? Like,
yeah.
We didn't hear about the expanded playoff coming before we even see the new expanded playoff. You know, until it was like already at the goal line, right? Like that's when you hear about shit when it has too much momentum.
Yeah.
And they don't give anyone else a voice. They don't really care about the fan opinions. It's a backroom deal between TV executives and commissioners. Like they understand where their power is at and where it's not and what they have the capacity to do and not do.
Yeah. Which is why this is also kind of insane because there are a bunch of people in this, like behind this group who are in those conversations, who are involved in this, who would presumably understand why they are doing that, who just, I guess, just don't. I guess Gordon Gee doesn't know why they've been doing that or why that's the way that they do things. Just like, I guess we could just take a different path. Like, no, they do this for a reason. It's because nobody likes it. And if you did it too early, you might actually run into some sort of pushback. Whereas, like you said, if you just put it out when, like, you basically have to because somebody's going to hear about it, then there's still then nobody can do anything about it. You've already made the deal. It's done. It's over. Oklahoma's going to the SEC. It's done. But like doing this, you're not going to get popular support on really anything other than like what I was saying earlier, just like an archival system that protects everything. That's the only appeal that would be popular is college football will stay the same as it always has been. That's it. And you can't make money off of that. So you're fucked because nobody's going to propose that. For me, I guess, us, you, you and me, and maybe we'll get lucky and some state senator will say something stupid like that and it won't matter. You can't sell this. There's no pitch here for anybody other than these guys. They're always going to bump up against the immutable truth that their ideas are not popular. None of the ideas that anybody in power in this sport or who wants to be in power in this sport have are popular. And that is, that's a sticking point. And I don't think that they can really work around that, especially if you're not already in power. The story continues here. Within those divisions setups that they have, the playoffs would not require a selection committee, as the 8 division winners and 8 wild cards from the top tier would go to the play. So wait, how are the wild cards selected if there's not a playoff?
Determined by record and tiebreaker. It's the next sentence.
Oh, okay. Determined by record and tiebreaker. Yeah. That doesn't really. I feel like that would be a nightmare. That would be a nightmare to try and sort that out. What do the tiebreakers look like?
Well, I think it would. I guess.
Do they include the AP poll? Because then we're talking about a selection committee again.
I guess 12 it's not games to work with. To say, like, the easy way to do this, right, would be like some like format where every league gets 2 teams, but they would never want to do that because then, you know, someone amongst whichever division has Georgia, Alabama, LSU knows every year one of them's not going to the playoff. So they would never support that.
Yeah. Yeah. 8 wild cards from the top tier. So we would have how many?
Oh, the top tier. Okay.
Yeah, from the top tier alone.
Every team in the top tier gets 2, one league gets 3, and then the winner of the lowest tier gets 1.
Great. Great. That's awesome. And the top tier, of course, again, never changes. So they're guaranteed always that many bits. That's doesn't sound that different from pretty much what we already have, guys.
I guess maybe we're misreading top tier. Top tier refers to the 8 leagues, not the top 7 leagues.
Okay. We've got a lot. There's a lot going on here.
This sucks. It's also written poorly from The Athletic.
Of course it is. Thus far, the group is struggling to gain traction with the schools that would play in their proposed Super League.
Awesome. No kidding.
How far into the story is this? Halfway down. Yeah. Well, it's not popular, but it is out there. The ACC Board of Directors heard a presentation from the group in February. However, planned dinners with administrators from the Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12 all were called off. Spokespersons for the Big Ten and SEC said Commissioners Petitti and Greg Sankey, respectively, have not met with Perna's group. Why would they? Why would they? You don't need to. You're already in power. You don't need to give it to these guys.
And the ACC would, because it deletes the current playing field and gives them a chance to like reorganize.
Yeah, they're desperate. They're looking for anything. Yeah. The ACC would listen to our presentation. We could go to the ACC and they'd be like, "Oh yeah, we're interested in your idea." They're looking for anything. They don't care what the fucking idea is. Just anything that will help them survive. Leagues have been hesitant and canceled meetings so as not to upset their current broadcast partners, including ESPN and Fox, according to one executive briefed on the commissioner's thoughts. Again, that's not my problem. I don't know why that needs to be. That seems like something that CST should have worked on before coming to. I have no control over what the leagues think about their broadcast partners. Go to the broadcast partners. Don't tell me this shit. I don't work for ESPN. I have nothing I can help you with here. What is popular support going to do regarding ESPN and Fox? You have to be in power. They're complaining that they don't have more power than they have. Next paragraph here. One TV executive called the idea that there is a lot more untapped money in the market naive. One CST executive said that the major networks with existing deals would likely need to buy into the plan before it can go to the open market in the 2030s. There's a lot going on in those two sentences. I'm a little bit concerned about the TV executive who called the idea that there's more untapped money in the market naive. I'm a little worried about what that might mean. But just more kind of the same here, where just nobody wants this is the thing. And so you're writing a story about something that won't happen because nobody wants it. What's the point of the story? You're not You're not reporting anything. This is you could quote anybody for this. You could quote anybody and say that they have a group that's proposing something. It's not okay. There's no backing for this. There's nobody in power is supporting this, so it doesn't matter.
I'm guy's proposing idea. That Greg Sankey sucks his own dick and balls. That's what I'm proposing.
Yeah,
and they have to report on that.
Yeah, they have to. This is newsworthy. It's about, you know, powerful members of college football's media have said that Greg Sankey should he should take a big sharp sword and stab it into his abdomen. Like that's okay. I don't think he's going to do that though. Problem. It sounds like something he doesn't want to do. Continues here. Universities would own a percentage of the league, a model derived from MLS, where it was devised by former president Mark Abbott. God damn, these guys suck at writing, who is involved with CST. Unlike the soccer league, the revenue distribution would not be an even split among all competitors, as top brands like Alabama and Notre Dame would receive more of the financial pie. CST believes there would be...
So it solves none of the problems. Yeah.
Yes. CST believes there would be added value in negotiating TV deals as one entity. Why? And creating broadcast windows that make more sense, much like the NFL's approach. Again, why?
Well, I think that part's true.
Like, but why would they agree to that? Why would the TV networks want that? They don't care.
The difference is, like, unlike the situation like the AFL and NFL when they merged, is... there's no incentive for the guys who are already making more money and have every advantage tilted towards them, including the leagues like playing on their behalf, to change anything. Like, why would you? Like, currently, Ohio State and Alabama and Michigan and Georgia aren't subject to lawsuits that face the SEC and NCAA. Like, you know, sure, those people are in trouble. They're shell companies that, like, handle the money for these teams. Of course they don't give a fuck. Like, their answer is, great, we're going to take all the advantages we can until those leagues go down, in which case it's not our problem anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And then we'll have a new one.
Yeah. There's no reason for anybody who would need to want this for them to want it. Like, and again, you're going into the negotiation already on the wrong side of like, oh, well, yeah, of course Alabama and Notre Dame would get extra money. Like, okay, how are you going to sell this to Duke then? How are you gonna sell this to UCF? They don't want that. That's no better than what they currently have. There's no reason to rock the boat. They're already in. They don't need to worry about this. It's not their problem. It's something else will rise up after the NCAA falls apart, and it doesn't need to be these guys. It could be something else. It could be fucking the UCF show. I don't know. They're not. There's no reason to commit yourself to this, even if you're Alabama and Notre Dame, because you're already getting this shit. It's already there. That's part of it already. It continues here. While the CST model would eliminate the longtime conference or the longtime conference structure for football, it would create one entity to negotiate with a prospective union. I don't understand how those two clauses are connected. That would represent the players on NIL, transfer portal, and salary structure rules. This embrace of collective bargaining could allow it to avoid the antitrust issues that have limited the NCAA's ability to enforce its own rules. According to two executives briefed on the proposal, one reason the FBS commissioners last month self-imposed a March 15th deadline to approve the six-year college football playoff extension was to stave off CST's push. I'm sure, man.
I'm hearing that's one reason why ASAP Rocky proposed to Rihanna. He was worried about B1G underscore Ryan's big push for her hand.
Yeah, he had to get in there. He had to close the deal. You were coming in hot. I got to get this done. During the athletics reporting, executives involved in college football were inquiring, quote, what do you know about the Perna Rollap group? Not a positive quote. Not something I would include in this story. That's these guys don't know about it. They've not heard about it. They conveyed alarm about what could be formulated, along with doubt as to why this group would be the one to solve the complex issues facing the NCAA. These guys suck at writing a puff piece. Imagine you're trying to get a puff piece written and this is what they come back with. You're like, you didn't even do a good job. You didn't even fucking sell it. You just talked about how our shit sucks and nobody likes it.
God.
Oh, that's awesome. You guys picked the wrong goddamn lackeys. These ones are too dumb to even do the job correctly. Jesus Christ. That's so bad. Oh man, I don't think that there's a ton in there. I mean, I do think that there should be some sort of collective bargaining body that can represent players in college football and in college sports. That's good. I don't know why it would need to be these guys. I it seems like they could just do that. Again, kind of. Well, we would like to be the middlemen for this. Like, okay, a lot of people probably would. But
yeah, why do they need a middleman? Like,
yeah, there could just be a union that they have that does that. It doesn't need to be these guys who do that. You could just have one. That's the thing about unions. You can just have one. If you all agree to it, you can just do that. There could be like a players union, and that's the body that represents them. They don't need these guys to do that for them. They could just do that. It's not like the NCAA has any power to stop it.
The next paragraph here is hilarious about that exact point.
Yeah. While critics and media in college sports who have heard about CST have warned of private equity's involvement, that's a troubling. You hadn't mentioned that yet, but that is troubling. Perna insisted this is not a money making venture for the individuals in his group. He said CST raised initial money to pay for fees incurred, presumably so that they could pay for their really good name, but declined to say how much. Okay, the plan is for the new format to create more revenue on the premise that there is more TV money to be generated in a model comparable to the NFL's TV setup. Incomprehensible. Impossible. That you could be saying
yeah.
that. What does that paragraph? What the fuck are you talking about? What are they talking about?
We should get through the rest of this because I want to kind of look at it holistically. Because I think there are some points they raise that have
yeah
some legitimacy to them, but not for the reasons they want them to.
Yeah. So quote here from the Syracuse Chancellor, and then I'll power through the rest of this. We've been looking at something that's large enough that it gives everybody a chance to compete, and that does translate into about 70 schools. That also creates content that's more valuable so that it generates the resources to do more things that the university presidents think are important for college sports. This guy's a fucking moron. It is not the case that the money to do what's right for our college athletes in football is just going to emerge from nowhere. Somehow it has to be generated. That's what we are trying to figure out as well. We're all trying to find the money in college sports. We just can't find the damn thing. Multiple prominent college leaders in recent months have spoken bluntly about a future in which schools directly pay their players. Private equity funding could provide schools an influx of capital to address those legal matters and competitively compensate their athletes in return for a stake in the school's athletic business. Sounds like a great idea. No flaws there. One top college football administrator claimed CST is trying to, quote, buy college football. Yeah, that seems fair. CST countered that it is only trying to create a system for football that in turn would result in the finances needed for non-revenue generating sports to survive and thrive. Under the plans, the non-football sports would stay in their current conference structure. Already have this. Rolap's involvement in CST has raised eyebrows. It has not. He was the mastermind of the NFL's current $110 billion in TV deals, and has been sought for top college commissioner jobs. While it is in the best interest of the NFL to have its feeder system of college football be strong, executives briefed on Rolap's role insist that the league is not involved. Rolap declined to comment. CST leaders maintain their intentions are pure, and that they are in a hurry to get going. An avalanche of legal activity could dramatically increase the likelihood that their plan or something like it could take hold. Even prior to that day of potential foundational change, CST wants to lead from the front, not behind. Quote from Gordon Gee here to close it. Really good quote. Speed is our friend. We don't have a lot of time to waste. That's your kicker quote. That's awesome. Uh-huh. Gordon Gee saying that speed is his friend. I love that film.
It's one of the best drugs they ever made.
Yeah. It gets you where you need to go. Come on, man. I don't know why he sounds like Joe Biden in this world, but he does. Listen up,
where
Jack.
Where is Gordon Gee from?
Oh, could be anywhere.
Let's look this up.
I'm going to go with Pennsylvania. I think he's your fault. I'm going to go with that.
Oh, tough news for you. It's your fault. He's from Vernal, Utah.
Oh, man. Damn. Almost had you. Maybe next time. I don't even live in Utah anymore. Not my fault. Not my problem. I'm up in Idaho. We're innocent. We didn't do anything wrong. We had nothing to do with Gordon.
His daughter is the secretary of the Louisiana Department of Health.
Huh.
The head of the department.
That's kind of strange. It's kind of a strange. Okay. Yeah. That's the story. Where do you want to hit first with this on the big picture stuff?
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. Like, presumably, the seven leagues they're talking about, the seven permanent leagues, this would be based in some kind of regionalism, right? Like, my guess is that you would have the conferences organize something like the six AQ leagues, the BCS era, except you probably break out the, like, you basically throw the SEC and ACC into a big pot and break it back into like the Southwest Conference and steal some of the other teams from that. Like, I assume you're going back to a more regional model, right? That part is nice. I think theoretically some level of guaranteed involvement for two G5 teams is also nice. I think that a standardized scheduling model is a nice deal. I think that having a unified front for which to negotiate with TV deals that do make sense in terms of the organization of them, and to negotiate with a players union to make it simpler and to give players an easy way to organize. I think all of that is good stuff. However, I don't think they actually want to do any of that shit. I think what this is the points they're raising with some of these challenges are correct, right? However, when they talk about private equity being involved, when you talk about still having larger splits for the biggest programs in a way that, you know, no professional model does, when you talk about a lot of this other shit, it's basically like, you know, having some middleman that's going to take money from the top of this, or giving the NCAA more enforcement of like rules and player movement, stuff like that. This is not a solution that is going to benefit the vast majority of college football programs or players. It is designed to, I think this would be like a temporary model they move away from. They realize, oh shit, like 30 of the 70 top teams suck all the time. We don't need them. They're just a money drag. It doesn't change anything about the future we're hurtling towards right now, right? It's just like, it makes some small changes, but it doesn't really do anything substantial. Like, I do think that a lot of those changes we talked about, the standardization of scheduling, a return to regional conferences, an ability for a player union, an ability for centralized TV scheduling, all of those sorts of things, and also, you know, eliminating the playoff committee and having clarified ways to get into the playoff, all of that would be awesome. It's not going to happen. They don't actually want to do that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they don't want to do that. I don't really understand, like, The stuff at the end about private equity is obviously very bad, and like anytime for any industry of anything that you see, oh, private equity is considering getting involved, like that's bad. That's really, really bad news. But I don't really know even what they're trying to pitch here, because where's the TV revenue money going then? Who's getting that? I thought that was supposed to be the thing that was funding this. What is the private equity for?
the private equity is probably like, it's probably that I forget the exact number that was reported, but like, you know, the multi-billion dollar lawsuits that are facing the conferences in NCAA.
Yeah.
I'd assume it's going to pay that off, which means like, they're not obviously just not donating that money, right? They're going to expect a return, which means private equity will be directly involved in all decisions governing college football for the foreseeable future, because they're never going to let that debt pay off.
No.
You know, there's always going to be some next thing to lend money for. Once you get dependent on that private equity money, you just have that investment forever. It's probably some kind of permanent investment.
Yeah.
That's awful. No, we do not want that.
No. Yeah. That's really, really bad. I would think that if the NCAA dies, the lawsuit probably will also die, because the NCAA will no longer be existing. That seems like a good bet, I would think. I don't know that there's
I don't know enough about like the legal model set up, like how much the constituent parties would be liable after it's gone.
Yeah.
But
my guess, based on what I know about America and the judicial system here, I would bet that if Fox and ESPN wanted to make that go away with the NCAA's death, they probably could find a way to do that. I think they could probably find a judge who would be, favorable. That's right. I have a lot of faith in them that they would not need the help of some private equity guy to get that job done. It's some of the stuff like the ideas, the why, like you were saying, some of the really big picture ideas, I don't think are entirely off base of like, yeah, the TV scheduling is bad and it probably shouldn't just be up to conference commissioners who is on what channel. There should probably be some body that can actually dictate a lot of that stuff. There absolutely should be some sort of, you know, organization to represent players for NIL stuff, because a lot of players around the sport and in college basketball and in pretty much every college sport, I would imagine, are getting screwed by people who are signing them for NIL deals and then not paying them. There should be like a clearinghouse that protects them from that, and that can negotiate things like revenue sharing from television and things like that, because there is not college football without college football players. Nobody's going to tune in to watch coaches on the sidelines with nobody playing the games. They are due some percentage of that money, and there should be a body that can help them organize that. But like, you know, the rest of this stuff, man, it's like, it doesn't seem like you guys actually, like you're saying, it doesn't seem like you guys actually really want to do that. What you guys want is to make money off of it. Well, you want to insert yourselves as the middlemen. When they go out of their way specifically to say, oh, well, we're not trying to make money off of this, we're just good guys. We're just good, and we want to just do, we just love the sport so much. The 76ers owner.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pro bono.
Yeah, the 76ers owner and the NFL number two guy and, Lev Parnas, they all just love college football so much, and they're all just pure of heart. They just want to protect the sport by crippling it, by completely fundamentally changing it in a way that generates more money for the top schools and in turn for themselves. That is, their intentions are pure. They maintain that. And so it's important to, you got to take them at their word when they say that. These guys are lying through their teeth for the entire article, but when they say that they are good, you have to believe them, obviously, because they're not going to lie about that. God damn, I hate these fucking people. I hate all of the people in CST. I hate the writers who put this story out. This is just so nasty. This is such a nasty story. And such a nasty group and concept. Like there are some things in here that are worth actually looking into, but it's not going to be these fucking guys who do that. It cannot be these guys who do that, because it would not, none of this would happen. It would just be like what's the worst possible way that we can fuck this up in the way that would generate the most money for us. And that right. would not include like, oh, the players are getting paid a fair portion of money. That wouldn't include that. Why would it? They're not going to do that unless they absolutely fucking have to. There's no do-gooders here. There's nobody whose intentions are pure in this. Cause that's the whole thing with like, you know, corporations with power. You're not like, oh, I just have everybody's best interests at heart. Like, no, you have your own best interests at heart, which is why you went to Stu Mandel hat in hand and said that you need him to suck your dick. Like, you didn't do that because you're such a nice guy. That's not what you're doing. Yeah, we're trying to run a charity here, and we need Stu to help us. That's just, goddamn, what a nasty bunch we've got over here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there is a way to, like, the bones of this, there's something you can take from it that could be useful. Like, I think this idea to a return of six or seven top college football leagues that have most of the current, or most or all of the current P4 schools, or the ones that were just opposed by the Pac-12, like, taking those and reforming them into regional leagues again, based on like old rivalries, and having a centralized model and schedule for all of them, where everyone's in a 10-team league, everyone plays, you know, 9 games, and maybe you designate 4 or 5 of those leagues that get 2 playoff bids, the other 2 get 1, and then you have the rest are filled out by X number of guaranteed spots for the G5, X number of wild cards. I think there is something to that. And you can centralize the scheduling and negotiate together as a block and have a level of equal revenue by school combined with, combined with a revenue sharing program for athletes. And you probably do have to break away football from every other college sport, maybe men's basketball too, and split that up to the point where those players are treated as employees. They do have a union. Like, I think all of that is something that should happen. I have no faith that it will happen or that the guys running this idea should be or will be doing that. There's no way. Anytime private equity is involved, that's not going to happen. It's not going to benefit the employee we're talking about. It's going to benefit the institutions, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is the time for sure that private equity has the employees in mind.
Yeah.
I think this is probably the time that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, no, I think the BlackRock, Notre Dame, Fighting Irish are really going to, make sure they get their players the best deal possible.
I think that's probably right. And I think it's reasonable as an adult man to think that. I think if you think that, you are definitely not an of mice and men. Who was the big guy in that? Lenny? Was Lenny the big guy?
Lenny. Yeah. George is a smart one. Lenny's the dumb one.
Yeah. You are not sort of a Lenny style, individual, if you believe that. I mean, that's for sure. I'm not going to let you, take care of any small animals or even like young women or anything like that, but it's not because you're a Lenny style. It's just, a precautionary. I don't want you to have that responsibility.
Yeah.
I got you this ball and stick, and you can sort of, hit the ball around with the stick. And I think that will keep you entertained. And that's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to be doing. That's my big plan for college football, is that I'm going to give all of these guys, everybody involved in this, a ball and a stick, and they can just sort of make their own fun. While everybody else tries to figure this out, maybe without a bunch of Lennies running around.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing I want to say, too, is, like, the current – sorry to get away from the bit. It was funny. But the current governance model of college football, like, running by the conferences who are beholden to the athletic departments of their respective universities, which are money-making models, right? They're not based on any kind of, like, larger good in mind. They're not beholden to anything else. Like, these athletic departments function essentially as private companies now at the big schools. There's no way anyone involved in running those or running the conferences or the TV networks and anyone who's an arbitrage, party between them, anyone who's involved with private equity, none of them are doing this with the good of the sport in mind, right? That is not going to happen. The only way we get college football reorganized into a model that actually works for the players, for the fans, based on regional rivalries, based on the tradition of the sport, all these sorts of things would have to come from some kind of top-down dictation from a government entity.
Yeah.
And of course, the problem is every government entity that would be involved is also run by the same kind of people who, the minute they're out of this, would just be getting jobs for these other entities.
Yeah.
Like, there's no world where anyone in charge has the best interest of the sport in mind. No one does. No one cares. I mean, there's not really an answer to this. In fact, like, I've gone back and forth on it. Like, I know I do believe the NCAA needs to die, but I've said that for a long time. But I actually think the NCAA is probably stopping us from something much worse happening.
Yeah.
So the longer they can draw this out and have this, like, progressively shittier but still watchable product carry out, where, like, we still do have teams somewhat based on regional rivalries playing each other or arena tradition. Like, the longer we can have that happening, I guess it's fine. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just so despondent about it. I don't know. Like, I think you and I, you put us in a room for a day, we could fix it.
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't know.
Two men enter, one man leaves situation. We'll figure it out. It really, like, sort of a devil situation with the NCAA. As it turns out, the NCAA really bad. However, every other option seemingly significantly worse even than what we had before. which is it's unfortunate. unfortunate when that kind of thing happens. But what are you gonna do, I guess?
I don't know. I guess we could write something. Maybe I'll write something about this, like my pitch for this kind of idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have an answer.
I think we just, yeah, I pretty much, I think we do probably need to just basically get lucky. Like someone eventually comes to power who isn't a lobbyist, basically, because it's pretty much lobbyists all the way down in every industry.
Yeah, I mean,
we would just need...
The real answer is, like, we need LeBron James to be president.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. <That's>... Yeah, that sounds fine.
I mean...
Whatever.
Like, I guess in terms of people of a public persona that, like, are reasonably electable, like, I don't know, people in politics aren't some of the Democratic Trump. Like, who is the non-political celebrity the Democrats have that could run for office and win?
Yeah.
And, like, Oprah's thrown around, I guess. But, like, if you want someone who's actually a college football fan and cares about the sport, yeah, I guess it's LeBron. I don't know. I don't really know. That's our only hope. That's probably not going to work either.
No, probably not. I think LeBron has some business dealings that might cause some issues.
That definitely would, but yeah. To his credit, he is a strong representative for the players union.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it would be better than the alternative, I guess, which is kind of what
Steph Curry's the alternative, right?
Yeah, Steph Curry. Fucking Chris Paul is the alternative. Democracy will die if Chris Paul becomes the president. We cannot allow this man to become we cannot normalize Chris Paul.
If you put Steph Curry in charge of building out like a college football solution, he would look for the country's largest public housing program and tear it down to make a new championship stadium that he calls the Steph Curry Rose Bowl.
He'd be tweeting like fucking John Fetterman. Oh, that would be awesome.
Did you see the LeBron tweet that was about, it was kind of actually ambiguous, everyone's pretty sure it was about Drake and Kendrick, but it was also at the same time as like Iran Israel popped off. Did you see that tweet going around?
No, what is this?
It was something like, I should pull it up, but it was something like, oh, two heavyweights going at it. Like, this is, there's nothing like this.
Sitting back watching CNN with some popcorn.
Yeah, it was definitely about like Drake and Kendrick, but it was the exact, like, minutes, within minutes of the news story breaking that Iran had launched drones against Israel.
That's so tweeted, good.
Nothing like two heavyweights doing what they do best for the love of the sport.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
They're just in it for the love of the fucking game. Two big-time up-and-comers doing battle. That's awesome. You gotta love that. Oh man. We've said before, and I'm sure we'll say it again. I guess Chairman G, we're kind of waiting on you, man. We're come on. What are we doing? Stop fucking wasting time here. We need you. we need your help with this, dude. We can't do this on our own. We've spit the fucking bit. We're down on the mat. It's time for
yearn for your freedom.
Throw the goddamn towel in, bro. What are you doing? It's time. We're done. We got no legs left. We need somebody else. Tap in.
They're always looking for like, oh, the guy who is the NFL's number two, or like this guy was involved in negotiating like MLB TV's digital package. It's like, we need the guy who formed the Bulgarian weightlifting team. I need the guy who was responsible for the Soviet hockey team becoming as good as it was. That's who we need in power.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to start talking about fucking Oliver Luck. Always seems like Oliver Luck is around in this. Condoleezza Rice, of course. The Rock is involved heavily. Things like that. Like, no, I don't want any of those guys. I want...
Lesnar for some reason.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar, John Cena's in there. It's a lot of wrestling guys. It's a weird number of wrestling guys. I don't really know exactly why. I don't really know why that's the case. But Sting. Both Stings. Sting of music fame. And I think there was also a Sting in wrestling. They're both in it. We really got all of them in there. And I think they're going to save a sport. I think they're the ones who can do it. Their proposal, College Sports Today, is making waves today. big news from them. They're sort of jumping in on these guys' whole thing. Yeah, I think that's all we got here. Ryan, you got anything else?
No, I mean, I guess just around the world of college football, the spring transfer portal opens tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
That's something to watch. I'm keeping my eye on basically just, I don't know if you watched the Ohio State spring game. I can't imagine you did.
No.
But Urban Meyer listed his 8 programs that could win a national championship this year.
Okay.
It's probably exactly who you expect. I mean, it's Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan. Then he also threw Utah in there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Utah's good. But that's kind of
tossing
kind of out of left field.
Tosses Bowling Green and Notre Dame in there too. I just like the program.
Yeah,
yeah. Florida,
yeah,
I think, Florida has a great chance.
Have something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, he threw those teams out there, and I'm basically just like those 7. You know, I'm crossing out Utah. I'm kind of curious to see what they do in the portal, like to finalize their rosters. I think, you know, Michigan's still way over scholarship caps. They're going to lose some guys. Ohio State has a couple more coming. Oregon's over. Alabama's under. Texas is over. Georgia's over. Ole Miss is over. There's going to be some exoduses, but also I assume some like shoring up of the roster. So I'm curious to kind of see how those teams respond to their needs this season. I mean, Texas definitely needs some. They probably need another receiver there. They have a few guys. I think they probably need one more. You know, I mean, Georgia could probably use an O-lineman or two. You know, I think Ole Miss, I don't know. Ole Miss is actually a pretty deep roster, but they're just like, they don't have superstars anywhere.
They should consider investing in a new coach. I think that would be the thing that gets them over the top.
Well, Alabama needs receivers. Oregon, I don't know. Oregon has a lot of fucking guys who haven't done anything but seem to be pretty good.
Great.
I guess, I don't know. I don't know what they need. Oregon's actually pretty stacked. Ohio State needs a lineman or two. Michigan needs a quarterback and a receiver and someone in the secondary, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just – we'll probably talk about it next week or talk about something related to it, but I'm curious to see how those teams kind of respond in the first week of the portal and see kind of what comes out there.
Yeah, yeah. At some point, we will talk about the portal. We've put it off for long enough, and it's going to be – hopefully soon.
Our usual,
it's going to be
done
here.
Our usual policy
is
when the dust settles.
Yeah. So once it's done, we'll talk about it. Once it's kind of going on, it's not really worth doing. So we will get to that when we get to that. I have nothing to add on any of those teams. I'm sure you probably have a better idea about it than I do. So I will leave it there.
But we start previews soon. Conference previews are coming around the corner. Position previews, like I mentioned. We're doing all that stuff very soon. So keep an eye out for that.
Yep.